welcome to episode 299 of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main, your host. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. So, as I'm cruising in the Handgun World mobile studio right now, doing this introduction here, I want to talk a little bit about being a gun activist. That's not the main topic here. Obviously, you can tell by the title that's not the main topic. But I do want to talk a little bit about being a gun rights advocate. Excuse me. As a matter of fact, that kind of reminds me of the Gun Rights Advocate podcast by Mark Vanderberg. And I think you should keep listening to that. He's the former head of the Gun Rights Radio Network. Boy, I miss the Gun Rights Radio Network. It was a great thing we had going there. Great forum. The network was a good network of podcasts, but I understand that Mark had things he had to do, and he had to move on to other things, and it was kind of consuming a lot of his time. But when I was part of the Gun Rights Radio Network, it was an awesome thing. I got a lot of exposure and picked up a lot of good listeners like you. So thanks again for listening. But I want to talk about things that if you're not doing, I really want to encourage you to do. First of all, let me start with a question. How many of you enjoy your gun rights? I'm hoping you're saying yes. How many of you want more gun rights? I'm hoping that you're saying yes. It is a right protected by the United States Constitution if you're an American citizen. We have a God-given right to self-defense and a right to life. And that's what we protect when we have a firearm in our possession that we hopefully carry every day. I hope you carry every day. If you're in a carry state, if you're in a state that allows concealed carry, which almost all of them do, some of them make it very difficult to get, but if you've got one, carry every day. What are you doing not carrying a gun if you have the right to do that? So let me share with you some things I've done I want to encourage you to do if you're not already doing it. Recently, I renewed my NRA membership for 5 years. I should have taken advantage of the lifetime membership that Tom Gresham from Gun Talk was offering several months back, or however long that was. It was a good deal, something like $350 for lifetime. I didn't do that. I didn't have the extra $350 to shell out at that point, but I got a call from them about a month ago from the NRA, and they offered me a five-year extension on my membership for $100. Boy, I jumped all over that. Five-year extension for $100. Why should you do that?
Well, Bob, boy, the NRA, they sometimes take some pretty controversial positions.
I bet that's what went through some of your heads right now. Yes, they do. I don't agree with everything that the NRA says or does. Matter of fact, I don't agree with everything that anybody says or does. It doesn't mean I don't support them. You know, think about it. You can support somebody and still not agree with everything they say or do. Many of you support me. You don't agree with everything I say or do. At least I hope you don't. You better not. I actually enjoy it when I get an email from somebody that says, now, Bob, and here's how they start it. Bob, you know, I love your show. Listen every week. And although I don't agree with everything you say, and then they go on to make their point. I like that. I love that. I like that because I don't want them to. I don't want you to agree with everything I say. First of all, I don't have all the answers. All right? I admit that. Second of all, it shows me you're an independent thinker and that you're thinking, you know, you're a grown-up. You're analyzing things. And, you recognize when I make mistakes and everything, too. So join the NRA. If you haven't joined the NRA, do it and do it now. Extend your membership. I don't know what kind of a promo this is, if this was a limited-time promotion, but a five-year extension for $100, if you're not a life member, give them a call. Tell them you heard about it on my show, maybe, if you want to do that. Maybe it'll let them know that I'm promoting them. And ask them if they've got that deal going, five-year extension for $100. The NRA is 5 million members. I just saw a really cool ad this morning on TV by the NRA. Really good one. I like it. And let's face it, they're a huge, huge lobbying organization. Now, I know we all hate politicians, right? I do. Some I hate more than others, but you know, they're all just driving me absolutely nuts. But the NRA is in there lobbying these knucklehead politicians for our gun rights. And the NRA does a fairly decent job of lobbying the politicians. Hey, there's lobbyists for everything. And although I hate the idea of lobbyists, if there's going to be lobbyists, we, as gun rights people, might as well have our own lobbying group, should we not? So join the NRA, extend your NRA membership, whatever. Keep it up. All right? Again, we don't always agree with their positions, but they do browbeat a lot of politicians with their grading system and all the other activist things that they do and joining lawsuits and becoming part of, you know, important legislation and things like that. Mainly, though, they fight on a political front, and we need that. Mainly, they're in Washington, D.C., hammering these people. And they're also getting involved in state and local political issues. And let's face it, the elections are coming up soon, very soon. By the way, go vote, go vote, go vote. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'm just going to ask you to please go vote on November 4th. And try not to be just a one-issue voter. I know you like guns, you like gun rights, so do I. But why don't you look at the whole total evidence. Right? Look at the whole picture of that politician. What is that politician going to do? That politician might say they're great on guns, and maybe they are, but they're way off on everything else. Okay? Be careful. Be careful who you vote for. Remember who they're going to vote for political leadership positions. Remember who they're going to, what they're going to, how they're going to vote on everything other than guns, and take that all into consideration and ask yourself, does that person match my belief system? Is that person good for the country? They may like guns, but they might be bad for the country. Think about that. Just think about that. But go vote, go vote, go vote. Okay. The Second Amendment Foundation. I'm a life member because of some money I donated back a while back. And I just sent them another donation a few months ago. The Second Amendment Foundation, I think, has, in the last several years, probably done more for us in the gun rights community than anything. They have been the major force behind Supreme Court decisions that have gone our way. Alan Gura is a hero in the gun rights movement right now, and he's the lead attorney. Alan Gottlieb, the president of the Second Amendment Foundation. SAF.org is their website. SAF, Second Amendment Foundation, .org. Make a donation. I don't care, even if it's small, make a donation. Help these people out. Let me tell you what, they're fighting the legal battles, and they're winning. I haven't seen a press release where they've lost yet. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I haven't seen where they've lost a case yet. If you can show me, show me. But they are, I mean, and they pick their battles very, very well. And Alan Gura is incredibly talented. So is the rest of the entire team, I'm sure, there at the Second Amendment Foundation. I don't think it's Alan Gura by himself. I'm sure they got a great support team of people that really, really know what they're doing. And they're really helping us. So become a member of the Second Amendment Foundation. Don't forget about your local organizations, your local rifle association, your local state rifle association, if you have some county associations, even your gun clubs. If your gun clubs are doing some political activism for gun rights, support them. You don't even have to support with money. You can also support with volunteerism. Maybe locally you want to volunteer to make phone calls as it gets closer to election day, which is right now. Me, I don't have the time to be making phone calls right now. So I donate with money. That's my choice. But you have a choice, but do something. Maybe you might want to volunteer. Maybe you want to just go pass out flyers. Maybe you want to, you know, stand outside at polling day and pass out flyers legally the way you can legally do it and things like that. But let's get involved. I guess this whole message I want to bring here up front before I get to the main topic is get involved, especially right now. because we have midterm elections coming up. And you also have a lot of local people on the ballot. You have governors trying to get elected, and you have lieutenant governors, and you have attorney generals, and you have county judges and district attorneys, all who can play an important role in gun rights and other rights. Again, I don't like one-issue voters. I don't. I don't like people to just pick one issue and vote on that. Because I think what you're doing when you do that is you give that politician a license to basically go do whatever he or she wants on all of the other issues that matter greatly. I just think that's a very narrow-minded approach to be a one-issue voter. You might disagree. It's okay if you disagree. You want to send me some hate mail on that? Go ahead, send me some hate mail on that, but that's just my opinion. Pick the one that you like the best and make sure that they support gun rights. And go to work for them, give them some money, you know, whatever. Pass out flyers for them, things like that. Get active, though. Get active. We have to keep the pressure on. Let's not relax. I'm afraid of something. Tell me if you are. I'm afraid that people who love gun rights and freedom are going to relax too much. I really do. And here's what I'm afraid of. I'm really afraid if there are major results on November 4th that shows that the country shifts away from the current administration and in a different direction, I'm afraid people are going to relax too much. I'm really afraid of that. Relaxing is the worst thing you can do. When you win a victory, you got to keep going. When you win a victory, you got to fight harder. I learned that in sales. I've been in sales 28 years. When I'm victorious, when I get an order, I keep on going. No matter how big or small the order is. When I get a good prospect, all right, great. I keep on going, find another one. I don't sit back and relax. When I hit my quota for the month or the quarter of the year, I keep on going. Because I know there's going to be lean times. I know that slower times are coming. And I got to prepare for that. Same thing with activism for our rights that we hold so dear. All right. Let's move to the main topic. This is episode 299. And a listener that came to the class that Ben and I taught with Glenn Tate and Powell from the team up in Squim, Washington, he sent me an email and he said, "Hey, let me make a suggestion, Bob. How about for episode 299, you have Glenn Tate, the author of the book series 299 Days, as an interview?" And I thought, why didn't I think of that? So thank you very much. So I did just that. This is kind of a tribute to Glenn Tate, the author of the book series, fantastic book series, 299 Days. Let's listen.
An exciting training opportunity is coming to Sioux Falls on May 16th and 17th, 2015, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. This 16-hour course is designed for the concealed carrier who is slightly more advanced but has never had any formal training outside of the CCW course. We start with the basics of handgun safety and marksmanship and quickly progress to some basic dynamic movement and defensive scenarios. Some scenarios would include shooting from cover and proper use of cover, shooting on the move, shooting steel on the move, defending hallways, one-handed shooting, the art of making hits quickly out of the holster, shooting a hostage taker, and more. You will shoot a minimum of 500 rounds of ammunition. Bring a quality handgun with at least 3 magazines, holster, belt, and magazine pouches. Revolvers and .22 caliber pistols are welcome. Both Bob and Ben are NRA-certified pistol instructors and have been for several years. Bob has been the host of the Handgun World podcast for 4 years and has over 120 hours of training under his belt. Ben has several years of Marine combat experience and several years of carrying a gun as an armored car driver. This class will be held in Sioux Falls May 16th and 17th, 2015, from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. both days. Cost is $350 per person, or sign up by December 31st and save $50. Look for the training link at handgunworld.com.
Well, joining me again, a very frequent guest on the show, Glenn Tate is here. And, I invited Glenn because I think this is appropriate. This is episode 299. And most of you know that have been listening. Glenn is the author of the fantastic book series, 299 Days. Welcome back, Glenn.
Thank you for having me, especially on, of all episodes, 299. That's very cool, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I can't take credit for this. One of my listeners and a shooter that was in the class, his name is Jeff, not going to give out a last name, but he emailed me and suggested this. So, Jeff, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. So, Glenn, take it away. I mean, this is episode 299. This is your episode here. I'm just going to ask a bunch of leading questions.
Well, the thing that strikes me, here we are in episode 299, and we've been talking now for coming up on 2 years, on and off,
right,
is this whole amazing journey. Starts off, I'm a regular guy, you know that. I mean, we've been out shooting, just regular guy, and wrote some stuff down. I've met some really interesting people in my life. You met most of the real team, and they are indeed real guys, and,
yeah,
and they're very, very much like I describe in the book. So I meet these interesting people, have this unique job that gives me this insight into government and how it works and some things that are going poorly. And I just write some stuff down, and it's like 3,800 pages, right? I just kept going and going. And that's all neat and everything. But my point of all this is that this journey has allowed me to do all kinds of things that I never thought I'd do. And you are actually a prime example of this. I've listened to your show from the very beginning. I can't remember when it was. I think, you know, the episodes were, I'm going to say, like in the 20s or something like that. You'd been out a couple months or something like that.
Yeah.
Been listening to the podcast. And in fact, it's when you lived elsewhere. You've moved since then. So, I mean, it was
yeah,
a while ago. And I listen to your show, love your show, subscribe to it, listen to it weekly or thereabouts whenever they come out, I seem to remember. And now I'm on your show. And that's just kind of a great example of where this whole thing has gone. I'm working with people, have sponsors, and all these people that I've always liked their stuff. Sometimes I've learned about their stuff and got involved with them. I get a call and talk to interesting people. And it's all just because people, I guess, can really relate to the real people in these books, because I'm not some action hero guy. I mean, in real life, I'm totally normal. I think I'm normal. And I just wrote about it instead of what you usually get, which is, you know, my buddy, the SEAL. Okay. I don't know any SEALs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and everything's exaggerated and everything's gigantic firefights and all this kind of cool stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool, and you need some action in life, and you know, you need to have a story that's got some action in. I grant you that, but it needs to be real the whole time. And so that's what's been so cool. And then it kind of all hit me when you said, let's do episode 299. And I started thinking back to the first time we spoke. I was probably calling you Mr. Maine or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Didn't know you as well. And now you've been out to Western Washington. We did that fantastic class at the Real Joe Tantori's range. Got to meet you, hang out, met Ben. That was cool, too. So I don't know. Pardon me for just saying, like, vague things like this has all been really cool, but that's really the overarching thought I have about this whole thing. It's more than a book. It's become this community, and I love it because people in this community are cool, and I like that. There are no bad people here, so that's nice.
Yeah, and it's been my pleasure, Glenn. It really has. You know, I'm glad that we got a chance to hook up and bring you on the show a bunch of times, and I got to help promote your book and the other things that you're doing and doing that fantastic class. You know, you and I have a lot in common because both of us are just regular guys, and we had a passion, and you decided to write yours, I decided to podcast mine, and it kind of connected with people, and I think it is cool. And you brought something up that I wanted to say. I've been wanting to say this a long time. People in this community that like firearms, freedom, liberty, prepping, self-reliance, they're good people. And, you know, I've yet to run across any jerks in this whole movement. They're great, great people. And it really bothers me a lot when we're persecuted, especially by people from the government and media and things like that. So, you know, I tip my hat to everybody that's in this movement.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the persecution and all that. I just before we got on, I was reading a newspaper story. It was about Ebola and how, you know, prepping has gone mainstream was sort of the theme of it all. And even in that rather positive, you know, story, they had to say, the doomsday has come, it's Ebola, and all this other stuff. It's like, why can't they just be objective and say, some portion of the population sees a threat out there, has taken reasonable precautions, and now is waiting to see, you know, how to act accordingly. It can't be as like I just described, which is not nearly, I guess, as interesting or dramatic as doomsday this and doomsday that. And I really, really dislike that TV show, Doomsday Preppers. I think I've watched 6 minutes of it. I was traveling on business. I was in a hotel and I was like, oh, I should probably watch this to say I did it because people asked me about this. And I looked at it and I go, this is insane. I mean, this is a circus, and this makes us look stupid. And it's really bothered me. Not many things bother me, to be honest, but one of the things that really bothers me is this caricature, stereotype. I mean, if you stereotyped, you know, virtually any other group in America, somebody would get mad at you and they would furrow their brow and they would say, that's not cool. We can't stereotype. But when it comes to preppers all being like doomsday lunatics, that apparently is the one stereotype that's still okay in America. And the reason I don't like it, not only it affects me and, you know, people might think I'm a weirdo, which bugs me, but the other thing is, the main thing is that when you stereotype preppers as weirdos, you're subtly and not so subtly telling the general population not to go out and prep, and that is going to get people killed. And that's why it's serious business.
Well, that's why it is serious business. And, you know, I want to say, talk to everybody who carries a gun or interested in carrying a gun or just general shooters. And that is, you may not think of yourself as a prepper, but I'm going to tell you that you are. Because why do you carry a gun? I joke about it and I say, because I can't carry a cop. That's just a joke and a tagline. But the reason you do is you're preparing yourself in case you may have to use it, in case that bad day comes. So you are a prepper. You have that mindset. It's no different than somebody that puts a seatbelt on in their car, even though it's the law. You know, what else are you doing? You're prepping in case you have an accident. So, you know, the stereotype that we get, it does bother me. And it's funny, Glenn, that you mentioned that, you know, it's almost like they don't want us to be preppers. I want to invite everybody to listen to the next episode that I put out over at my survival show, today's survival show. It's going to be episode 251. A very, very bad thing happened to a fellow prepper of ours. And that's going to air probably about the same time that this show airs. And I want people to hear the story because it's a very, very bad thing and it must never happen again.
Wow.
And I'll just leave it at that. I built some curiosity on purpose. You can find it at today's survival show. It'll be episode 251. It's a very bad thing. He's going to recover, but you got to listen to it. Preppers, people like us, whether we're gun enthusiasts or whether we're self-reliance type people, we are being looked at. I'll just tell you that.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to listen to that. You know, another aspect to what you're talking about, people who are, let's say a lot of people are listening to you and they are gun people and they carry concealed and they don't really prep, they don't think of themselves as preppers, all that. One thing they need to realize is that when bad things happen, and they will happen, everyone in your neighborhood is coming to your house. Because they know, you know, you mention to somebody, yeah, I'm going out shooting this weekend or something. People tuck that away. They file it away. And at least in Western Washington State, you know, in the Seattle area, in the state capital of Washington, here in Olympia, very few people own firearms. And so, and this may not be true in Texas, I grant you that, but all these people that are unarmed and are unprepared are going to assume that I'm just going to take care of them, for example. And so understand that you're going to have demands put upon you to take care of people, and just accept it and maybe plan for it. I'm not saying that you can take care of everybody, or if you're in a place where everybody is looking to you to take care of them, it'd probably be good to not be in that place if at all possible. So but just understand, when bad stuff happens, people will come to you because they know that you are probably one of the only self-reliant people they know. So, you know, act accordingly.
Very good point. Very good point. Hey, let's shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
I asked you this once before, and I can't remember your answer. Where did you get the name 299 Days?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because it's the whole episode 299 thing.
Yeah.
299 Days is a hopeful thing, and here's why I say that. In the story, in the very beginning, the prologue actually, chapter zero, right? The main character, who's me, is going off to the inauguration of his friend, who's now the governor of the new state of Washington, because the bad people have been kicked out and the state is now run by good people. And he's noting that it's been because his son, Cole, who has autism, counts days and always knows the number of days between, you know, any dates, that kind of thing. And so the main character is noting that it's that his son has mentioned, oh, it was 299 days from the day of the collapse, the day you can say it really started in a dramatic way, the day of the collapse until the inauguration is 299 days. And the reason that's important is that 299 days is a relatively short period of time, and it's not this idea that there'll be a collapse and there'll be 299 years of darkness, you know, the dark ages, and humanity will never spring back, and everything's horrible and all that other stuff. 299 days is a short-ish but hopeful period, and I think that when things fall apart, it'll be relatively soon that things will start getting back up. By the way, the inauguration of a new governor doesn't mean that it's sunshine and lollipops. There's still a lot of restoration to be done, and there's still mopping up operations and all kinds of other things going on. But it's a pretty good sign that things are stable enough to, for example, have an inauguration party and not worry about it, you know, being attacked by, you know, Apache helicopters, for example. So that's where the 299 days comes from. And I think it's been kind of neat to have a short title with numbers in it, and I was really surprised when I came up with this that the domain name was available. So it all kind of worked out. But yeah, that's the 299 part.
Well, that's great. Yeah, thanks for that explanation. And is it book 8 or 9 that's out right now?
9 is out, and in a couple days, book 10 will be out. In fact, I was delayed a little bit in calling you today, and that's because we were putting the absolute final touches on 10. 10 will be released on October 26th on Amazon, and here's the cool part, audiobooks. We talked last time about the audiobooks on October 26th, which is the 299th day of the year. See how cool this is?
Oh, that is awesome. That's awesome.
Which is a Sunday. All 10 audiobooks will be available. They're currently available for pre-sale. And so you can buy them now, and then they get delivered to you on the 26th. Audiobooks getting delivered, of course, by email, and you get a little login thing and all that. So it's a simultaneous release of the last book on Kindle/paper, which is book 10, on October 26th, and then all 10 of the audiobooks at the same time, which is super cool. One of the neat things about that is that Audible, which is the Netflix of audiobooks, it's the Amazon of audiobooks, basically. They don't normally let people do a 10-book release all in the same day. It's really complicated and hard to produce, and believe me, the details of it are mind-blowing. And they really believe in this series. They put it in their fall newsletter as sort of a staff pick, as a book series they're really excited about, and that's been very, very cool. So I think that shows that there's interest in this beyond just the prepping community, which is really cool because I don't want to just preach to the choir. I want to get the message out to others. I want people who are just interested in an interesting story to say, hey, this guy, this Glenn Tate guy does not sound crazy, and this stuff is not crazy, and maybe I should start thinking about this on my own. Who knows? Maybe they start, you know, getting concealed carry licenses and all kinds of other crazy things they never thought they'd do. So I'm really hoping it gets out into that non-prepper audience to get the message out. So yeah, that's the deal with book 10. And oh, I'm telling you, pardon me for saying this, but book 10 is fantastic. It's a different format than the other ones. It's 43 chapters where there's a speech or story that's told about a colonelship, an honorary colonelship that's being awarded to somebody, and you get to hear what they did. And it's not just military stuff. It's all kinds of interesting people, money launderers and homeschooling moms and personnel clerks and logistics people and Green Berets and all kinds of cool things you need to pull one of these things off. So people will be fascinated at all the normal, everyday stuff that people, I think, will end up doing to have things turn out the way I think they'll turn out. So, yeah, it's very cool. It's called The 43 Kernels, and it's book 10 in the series. And you will appreciate this, Bob. There is no cussing at all in book 10.
that's awesome.
That's legit. That's fair. In the other books, there's a little bit. It's always in context, and it's always important, and it's used sparingly because when somebody's best friend is shot, they usually don't say golly gee. So I couldn't, you know,
that's true.
Be realistic. But in book 10, when you've got a series of speeches to a joint session of the House and the Senate, you typically don't hear salty language in those sorts of settings. And so because that is the setting, there is no cursing. So I think folks that are put off by cursing will be very, very happy, and kids can read book 10, and there's no sort of inappropriate stuff. I'd be happy, you know, reading this to an 8-year-old and wouldn't blush a bit. So that was kind of important to me too. I wanted to have that aspect of it available, but I couldn't, as I say, have the other 9 books be kind of cartoonish when you get down to it without a little bit of swearing in appropriate places.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're doing that. Glenn, congratulations on all 10 books that are out. I'm just going to go ahead and say that they're out because they're going to come out. And congratulations on the audiobooks. Let me remind everybody, help me out. When you buy Glenn's stuff, use my Amazon account over at handgunworld.com. It'll help kick a little bit back to this show. Won't cost you any extra money. But congratulations. That's great. You know, I have never heard a negative feedback on anything that you've written, and it's terrific. I have to admit I haven't read every single one, but I'll get there. And I think it's excellent, you know, and I think you're waking people up. I think you're reaching some of the regular people that realize that there's stuff going on. And there is stuff going on. And I want to key in on something you mentioned about 5 minutes ago. You said something like, when times get bad, you know, desperate people are going to, they're going to do some desperate things. And this is one reason why I'm such a big proponent of the Second Amendment and people being armed. It's also a big reason why I'm a big proponent of preparing yourself, because the people who didn't plan, they're going to quite often and most likely turn violent. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And that is the biggest danger. And let's look at Ebola as an example. I'm not an epidemiologist, whatever the scientist is that knows viral stuff. I don't know any of that stuff. But here's what I do know. And quite honestly, I know this from my own experience. When people are scared, especially when they're hungry, especially when they haven't slept a lot, they do crazy things. Here's the other thing that gets normal, nice people. And let's be honest, almost everyone around you right now is a nice, decent person, right? I mean, there's some bad guys, and that's why we carry guns. I mean, I have a police officer friend. I have several, but one of them, you know, was talking to me about all the convicted felons. We're talking violent felons and sex offenders and all these people that are just walking around among us and we don't even know. So there are bad guys out there, but essentially most people in peacetime are decent human beings. When their kids are hungry, when their kids are scared, and when they get some idea put in their head, often by political people who want to manipulate people, I know a lot about that actually, they get some idea put in their head, you know what, those people over there, they have food. They're hoarding food. Your kids are hungry. You need to go and get the food from those other people, that kind of stuff. And it sounds kind of, oh, geez, that only happens on TV. Listen, every part of the world at every time in history, including the present tense, that's the way stuff happens. It doesn't happen every day. I'm not saying that, you know, there's like this giant like animal farm kind of horrible anarchy going on in the world. But when stuff gets bad everywhere, people act like this in those conditions. And thankfully, it's been extremely rare in the United States in the present, you know, era. But you know what I'm going to say? Look at Katrina. It happened then. And look at what happened. I mean, there are 5,000 people missing from Katrina. Yeah. Now, some of them probably decided to take off and go start new lives or whatever they decided to do. There were people swept out to sea. There were all kinds of killings. There were, I mean, there's just people died in hospitals. I mean, it's a really dramatic thing. So this really bugs me, and I'm a proud American. I love America. Don't get me wrong, but something about many Americans, probably not many listening today, but many Americans bothers me, and that is this idea that this is America. Bad stuff doesn't happen. No, you're wrong. Bad stuff hasn't happened recently, but the laws of human behavior still apply within the boundaries of the United States of America because we're human beings. And when the power's off, at least for a little while, I don't think it'll stay off, but let's, you know, it's on and off. I mean, look at what happens in a snowstorm. Look at how people get, you know, cutting in line and getting in arguments to get a tank of gasoline. So it stuns me that one of the most obvious things that is that people turn bad in bad situations. One of the things that we should have the most evidence of, I know I'm thinking like a lawyer here, but it's how I think.
Yeah.
We have tons and tons of evidence, and almost everyone out there in the general population has seen these things, at least maybe only on TV or something like that. But they shouldn't be surprised by any of these conclusions. And why is it so difficult for most Americans to accept that one little hiccup, electricity, gasoline, internet, EBT cards aren't working and people are smashing up Walmarts. I mean, one little hiccup and people are going to turn nasty. And
right.
It's people, I guess the general population is in denial. I guess they're preoccupied with other things. I think that a big part of it is that a lot of people out there kind of realize this at the gut level. I mean, look at, you know, the number of gun sales don't lie, right? And so people get it at a bit of a level, but they're, number one, afraid of being the crazy doomsday prepper that we were talking about a few minutes ago.
Right.
But also, you know, there's just all these things, this weight sort of pushing against you if you want to do something about it. Oh, my wife will think I'm crazy. Oh, it'll cost some money. Oh, it'll take some time. Oh, I don't know. Or, oh, geez, if things break down, you know, what am I going to do? I can't hold people off with a 38 special. Actually, you'd be surprised. You probably can.
Well, if you're good with it, sure.
Yeah, exactly. And you get some training and you don't just buy guns and you got to spend money on training, Bob. You know that.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So anyway, that's my I don't know, rant. Sorry to go off. But people need to quit this denial stuff. And most people listening to this show don't have this denial, but they have people in their lives that are in this denial. And the reason it bugs me so much, and I mentioned this, I guess, a few minutes ago, and that is this denial leads to inaction, which leads to people dying. And I don't want people to die. I don't even want to be uncomfortable during this. I don't want people to go through 4 or 5 days of being scared and hearing gangs and sirens. And then even if it's all over, which it won't be.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. We had a little bit of a break in the Skype connection. But let's shift gears again. Glenn, talk a little bit about some guns, maybe some things that you've been working on, shooting at, training on, purchased, whatever lately.
Yeah, I love guns, and this is a gun show. And I never tire of somebody saying, hey, let's talk about guns. So heck yeah. I've been spending a lot of time and energy training. There's, of course, your class. There was Mag 40. I'll be very candid. I've been doing so much book stuff, launching audiobooks, writing Book 10. I wrote Book 10 this summer from scratch. Most of them were written, all the other 9 were written in advance, that I haven't been out shooting as much as I'd like. I'll tell you this, though. I continue to be in love with my M&P 15-22, which is, of course, an AR-15 in .22 caliber.
Yeah.
I love .22. I always have. I always will. It's the funnest gun. The gun that gets used the most that I have is that AR in .22. One of the things I love about the Smith & Wesson M&P 15s, they are relatively inexpensive. I don't know what prices are now. It was $460 or $80 when I got mine a year or two ago. And they're great. They're an AR-15. They function the same. It's the best practice you can get. Obviously, .22 ammunition is inexpensive. I guess that's not true now, is it?
Yeah, it's getting better, though.
It's getting better, and I have a pretty absurd quantity, and I haven't bought .22 ammunition in a while, so I'm still shooting up that stuff. And so, big fan of that. And then I have a Smith & Wesson M&P .22 pistol, which is really a Walther. And that, you know, I'm a Glock guy, and so I don't have the Glock conversion for the .22. For roughly the same money, I could get an entire dedicated gun, which, by the way, has a threaded barrel, and I need to get around to doing my tax stamp and going ahead and getting a a suppressor for that, because there's nothing more fun than a 22 with a suppressor.
There you go. There you go.
And so 22s, that's what I've been doing. I've got a couple weekends where I've been able to go out and do the 22 stuff, and it's so much more fun shooting, because I'm kind of a frugal guy. Shooting and not saying, wow, that was $80 and now I'm going to load another magazine or something like that. It's not like shooting 308. And so there's been that. I love doing this, taking folks out and shooting with them for the first time. I took the real Governor Ben Trenton in the books. He's not really the governor, but he's the guy who's really the character, Governor Ben Trenton.
Right.
And that'd be newsworthy if the governor of the state of Washington was like my friend and, you know, he was a friend with a prepper guy. That would actually be news, but that is not
that
actually
would be
true.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, took him out and, he'd been meaning to go out and do a bunch of shooting, but he's really busy at his job and with his family. So went out and did that. And I've noticed something really interesting, with new shooters. Female shooters are often really, female new shooters are often really, really good. We've talked about that. Our theory, I think, Bob, is, and you've instructed them more than I have, that they listen. They come in with no preconceived notions. But the other thing I love about new shooters and going out and taking them, the thing I've noticed is that, people like the real Governor Ben Trenton, who are athletic and have done all kinds of athletic things, they really pick up on this more quickly because shooting really is a sport. I mean, you don't have to be good at sports to shoot, which is good because I'm really not good at sports and I'm okay at shooting. But I found that really interesting that an athlete would just pick it up. And here's a cool thing. Governor Ben Trenton, he shot like shotguns when he was, I don't know, 12 years old or something like that. And it'd been a while since he did anything. I handed him an AK-74. And, it was zeroed, and at 25 yards, there was a little rock, probably the size of like, a big egg or something like that.
Yeah.
And, he just put the red on what you want dead, of course, a red dot sight, and he pulled the trigger and he vaporized the rock. First time he'd ever fired a rifle, first time he'd ever fired an AK, ever used a red dot. So that was pretty cool. And that's neat. You know, people need to know that new shooters can get out and do some good stuff. So, I've been having a lot of fun taking them out. I also have quite a few friends who have younger teenage boys and girls, but they're often boys, and they want to go out and shoot the guns they've seen on Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And so we go out and we do that, and I think I make, you know, hopefully lifelong shooting fans. They may not shoot every day, all day, but at least they'll be open to it. So that's what I've been doing guns wise. As far as new guns go, I haven't been buying a lot of guns. I've been doing some training stuff. I've been getting some ammunition. You know, some of the Russian made stuff that I shoot, 5.45 and 7.62, I need to get while I can. So I've been stocking up on that stuff.
You mean that hasn't been shut down yet?
Well, yes and no. There's still some in the supply chain, and it's only Russian-made stuff. And the Ukrainians make quite a bit of, at least what I'm familiar with, 5.45, and so that is unaffected. But, you know, the Ukrainians kind of need to use that for themselves. They've been invaded by a neighbor, a superior force neighbor, so they need to probably use it for themselves. A couple months ago, it was starting to dry up. I can't say what the current status is, and I don't want to, you know, be a fearmonger kind of person, but I've got all I can get of that, I think. I mean, all I need, really. I use the corrosive 5.45 for everyday goofing around in some of my lower-end 74s, and then in my nice AK-74, I use only non-corrosive, which makes sense.
Right.
Pistol I got was my Glock 42, which I have on me right now and is just a magnificent, wonderful gun. I think you have one of those too, don't you, Bob?
I do. I do. Had some issues, but since I got it back, seems to be pretty good. And, yes, nice little gun for people looking for a nice soft shooting 380.
Yeah, and the cool thing is it's a Glock. Same trigger, same reset, same feel, same reliability. I don't know. It seems like a matter of time before they have a single stack 9 in Glock, and that'll be a good day too. So that, and then I, you know, my money that I put aside for prepping has been going to radios. Won't get into that because it's a little off topic, but lots of communications capability, because that's pretty critical. And things like, you know, solar battery chargers and stuff like that, not exactly sexy, but, you know, could come in pretty handy, even where it's cloudy here for in Western Washington, you know, 4 or 5 months out of the year. So that's what I've been up to in the gun department. I've had better answers at other points in my life when I'm not putting out 10 books, to be honest.
Well, no, that's okay. I mean, hey, you know, thank you for the 10 books, and that's really cool. Well, we're going to wrap it up soon, but, you know, tell me this. What has been, name a couple of your greatest satisfactions in writing these books. You know, we all get feedback. I get feedback on my podcast. I'm sure you get feedback on your books. What's been some of the best ones?
Oh, without a doubt, it is the several emails and occasionally Facebook messages I've received from people who have said, my spouse thought I was crazy. And in some cases, they've said, our marriage was really not looking so good. It's usually a man telling me this about a reluctant wife, but it is not always the case. And he, usually he or sometimes she will say, and I read your books and you went through the same thing I'm going through. And, you know, that was very encouraging. And then here's the thing I love the most, getting goosebumps even talking about this, but it is when somebody says, I feel comfortable enough that your story is rational and portrays what we're doing in such a normal, positive light. I'm going to let my wife read this book. And then sometimes they say, they come back and they say, she read it. She's on board. This has like been the most important thing in my life. You know, this huge cloud has been cleared up.
Nice.
That is, I mean, you can't, it never gets old. And I know that's a line from the book and it's really true. It never gets old. And that has been, by far the biggest, most lasting positive impact. I don't know how many thousands of people have either started prepping or kicked up their preps as a result of this. I know that's true, and I get emails about that too. But the ones, like I say, is our marriage was on the rocks, and now my wife and I are on the same page because she read your book. I mean, really? I mean, does it get any better than that? I mean, that's an awesome
thing. No, it doesn't. It doesn't get any better than that. That's cool.
So yeah, and some other things. Oh my goodness, I mentioned earlier, you know, the people like you, you know, that I've got to know. Gonna go to SHOT Show this year and hang out with my cheesy red fake beard, you know, because I can't show my face. So I'm sure the security people probably wonder who this like guy in a like a lumberjack Halloween costume is, kind of what it looks like. That'll be interesting. So I'm getting to meet all kinds of cool people like that. I'm working with, and we were on a show together with Working Man's Armory with Joel, and that's really cool to do testing and evaluation. Last night with one of my team guys, I was doing some testing and evaluation of a solar battery charger, go out in the field, rugged thing that you might be hearing more about once that all is firmed up. But I mean, it's so cool, Bob, to, you know, have to sign non-disclosure agreements and get stuff in the mail and test it out and give people feedback on how to make a product better and features and, like, you know, go out and we're going to go out in the woods and charge batteries with this thing on cloudy days, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just cool. And so that's been one of the other things. Those are the main things that come to mind. Yeah.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, you know, I'm really glad that you took this time to come on, because, again, I wanted this to be your episode, because it is episode 299, and I think you're doing such a great service. And, you know, you've been on here before talking about firearms, and, you know, your books are all about prepping and things like that. And I think it's a great service. I think that, you know, I need to help you, and other people need to help you get more and more of that word out there. And I think that that's going to succeed. People in the mainstream government and media, at least that government and media that we currently have, they don't like it, but that's just too bad.
Yeah. They don't like it. They want us to be dependent on them. And, you know, there's not a lot of fans out there for self-reliant people. I mean, self-reliance is not a popular thing, which is weird, because when you and I were growing up, it was actually, you know, considered a good quality for somebody to be self-reliant. But yeah, it's tough to do. And, you know, people are seeing some models out there about how to do it, and good, because it's helping them do it.
Well, and it's interesting because it's what our grandparents used to do.
Yep.
And even when it comes to firearms, you know, hey, prior to 1968, it was easy to get firearms, and it should have been, and it was, and it still should be. And we are winning. I believe that we're winning a lot of our firearms rights back, but we're nowhere near where we used to be, you know, quite some time ago. And I don't remember, gosh, I don't remember even when I was growing up in the 70s, I don't remember a whole lot of trouble with firearms like we have today. And I think it's just due to lack of education. It's lack of education, and people don't grow up around them, and they're not taught about firearms, and they're not trained. And it's not, for a lot of people, it's not a normal thing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember at high school, a lot of guys had pickup trucks, and there were gun racks, and there were 30-30s and 12 gauges in the gun racks on the school parking lot grounds, right? Guys would, you know, go hunting before and or after school. This was common and normal. There were so many firearms on that campus, and guess what? Nothing bad ever happened because we grew up with them. We knew about them. We had role models. We knew men, usually, who, you know, showed us how to do these things. It was part of the culture, and nothing bad happened. And now look at things. Can you imagine bringing a shotgun onto a high school campus right now, especially as a student? I mean, you're done for. You're gone for a year. There's probably going to be criminal charges too. And that's how much the world has changed.
Yeah, it is. It is. And my mission is to help change that back the other way.
Yep.
So.
Well, you're doing a good job. I mean, think about how many people you reach, and you're giving people out there the, I don't want to sound corny, the courage to say, yeah, I'm going to carry concealed. Cause you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, there's everything right with it.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it. That is actually probably a good place to stop. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on. It's been a great journey, hasn't it, Bob?
It's been a great journey. We're going to continue it. Thanks for completing episode 299 for me. I'll probably be emailing you. I have a couple of specific topics after I get episode 300 out of the way. I have a couple of specific topics that I'd like you to address, so watch your email inbox.
Will do. Yeah, you're not in my spam folder at all.
I hope not. And we need to start, hey, there's been a lot of demand for another class next summer, so we need to start planning for that.
Heck yeah, love to do it.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Bob. Take it easy.
All right, take care. Many thanks, Glenn. You deserve this tribute. Your success has been absolutely fantastic, and I wish you continued success with your book and your audiobooks and things like that. Glenn, once again, thanks for coming on the show. I know this won't be the last time that you're going to make an appearance on the Handgun World podcast. Show him some support. Get his books, his audiobooks. Anytime you get a chance to meet the guy, go do it, because it was a real pleasure in August to meet Glenn Tate, and also to meet Powell and Joe from the book characters. It was really cool. It was really cool and a lot of fun. So remember, if you want to get his books or his audiobooks, go to handgunworld.com. Use my Amazon store link. Just click the Amazon store page. It will help me out a little bit. And by the way, that's one of the best ways you can support my show. Whenever you're going to make a purchase on Amazon, hey, make it through my link. Doesn't cost you any money, even if you have an Amazon Prime account. You know, you can do it that way. And so just use my link, and I'll get a little bit of a fee for it. If you do want to support the show, remember, this is a commercial-free podcast. I don't know about you, but I get irritated by podcasts that just run a whole bunch of commercials, especially commercials about stuff that I really don't care about, unless they're a real radio show. Now, some podcasts are actual radio shows, and you're listening to the podcast, and that's fine. That's different. They're a radio show. They gotta make money by running those ads, and because they're paid to do that. So I just ask listeners like you to support my show. Don't forget about our Shooters Club podcast. Ben and I have put together a lot of cool videos. There's a new one coming out real soon here. Instructional videos. If you can't make it to one of our classes,
or any class, but you want to start learning some stuff on video, you can become a member of our Shooters Club. Go to shootersclubmembers.com. That's shootersclubmembers.com. And for $75 a year, you can have access to all of our instructional videos. We will email you a password that you can use. It's exclusive content. We've never talked about it here on this show. And, or you can do the $8 a month option, whatever's more affordable, $75 a year or $8 per month. We've been getting great feedback, a lot of members. We've been doing this, I think, nearly a couple of years now, and it's working out very well. Don't forget about the classes coming up. Now, unfortunately, because of my health issues, I haven't been able to make some of the classes that we've set up, but I'm going to try to change that quickly. But right now, let's see, November 9th in Dallas, Pistol Fighting Dynamics. There's still spaces open for that. November 9th in Dallas on Saturday, Pistol Fighting Dynamics. I'm not going to guarantee I'll be there, but there's a chance. Okay, if not, Ben is very capable, and he's going to be teaching that class. You can sign up for that on the website, handgunworld.com. That's all about the art of making the first hit right out of the holster. It's good stuff. The night class, we're doing a night class in December in San Antonio. I think I'm going to make that one. Night fighting, pretty good stuff. Using your pistol at night in San Antonio, you can find that on there. And, of course, as you heard in this episode, next May 2015, we're going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I should be done with all my cancer treatments by then and ready to rock. May 15th, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're teaming up with Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast. Already got some people signed up for that. You can save some money. That's a two-day class. That's a two-day class. Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced is what we are teaching. That is a two-day class. And we're offering a discount if you sign up by the end of this year. And you can find that at handgunworld.com. You can also get email updates, by the way. Every time I make a post of a podcast or change anything, my website will shoot you an email. Check that out. And last but not least, you want to make a comment and be on the show, 210-646-1727 is my voicemail number. 210-646-1727. With all that said, folks, thanks for listening to episode 299 of your weekly Handgun World podcast. Episode 300 is coming up soon. Ooh, that's interesting. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember that the loudest sound that a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Talk to you next time. Goodbye. They're back.